with the Kamloops Assembly again. I'm going to divide the time. If I were to give a little title on what I'm exercised in just opening for a short period this evening, I'm going to call it Little Reminders from Our God. Turn to the book of Exodus, please. Chapter 34, chapter 33, on the last part of the 17th verse. Exodus 33, on verse 17. Thou hast found grace in my sight. Notice, I know thee by name. Deuteronomy, please. Chapter 32. On the 10th verse. The 10th verse on the 32nd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. He found me in a desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness, he led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. The book of Psalms, please. 17th Psalm, just about the middle of your Bible, as you're well familiar. On the 8th verse, Psalm 17, verse 8, please. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Proverbs chapter 7. And verse 1. I should say, verse 1, chapter 7, to make us think, Proverbs. My son, keep my commandments, and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Lamentations. Chapter 2 and verse 18. 18th verse, 2nd chapter of Lamentations. Their heart cried unto the Lord, O wall of the daughter of Zion, let thy tears run down like a river day and night. Give thyself no rest. Let not the apple of thine eye cease. One more reading in Zechariah, chapter 2, on the 8th verse. Zechariah 2 and 8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. And here's the particular part I'm exercised. For he that touches you touches the apple of his eye. Bless the Lord, oh bless the public reading of the Word of God. Exodus 33. I know thee by name. The sovereign God, the one that always is, always was, the one that answers to no man, the one that does all things well, the one who's loved us and sent his son and loved us unto death, even the death of the cross, the one who knows how many hairs are on our head, knows the very thoughts and intents in our heart, the one that has orchestrated circumstances to cross our path, that we might hear the gospel of the grace of God. He says, I know thee by name. You can't feel God. You can't see God. You can't touch God.
we can know him. And he says, I know thee by name. I come to Psalm 31. I'm reminded, as we all know, our times are in thy hand. The sovereign God allows circumstances to cross our paths for his honor and glory, for our eternal blessing, for us to learn him to be conformed more to the image of his son, take the rough edges off, maybe a character like me, if you want to put it that way. But he reminds us, because he knows us by name, he's in the boat. He's never forgotten us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. I come to Naaman 1:7. It says, the Lord is a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. If you've never gotten discouraged, let me know after the meeting. I'd like to meet you. And if you've never gotten down a little bit, let me know. But I'd like you to put in your pocket, if I can put it in simple terms tonight, that God is deeply interested in every aspect of your life. And there's nothing that takes place in our lives that takes God by surprise. It may take us by surprise, but I know thee by name. Touching to just think and muse and meditate that he cares for us and he's infinitely interested in us. I guess it's all right to say, since earlier times of being here, I've had some sickness. I wrestled with it. What do you say by that? I decided before God I would not allow it to be an obstacle, but an opportunity. And I would attempt to any doctor or chiropractor, whatever it was that I would meet, that before I left that office, I would attempt to tell them the know of the way of salvation, or ask them a piercing, pulsing question that maybe they never heard before. I found I had tremendous opportunities. In fact, in one office, I spent more time in the office than he spent with me, answering questions with the Bible and giving him a mailing of literature and all those ramifications. So, when trials come, you don't expect, beloved. And storms come and it looks like the boat's going down. It's not going down. He's in the boat. And he's right there and he's allowed it for some reason. We may not know the reason. The biggest why occurred at Calvary. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? But as I weave through some of the little pictures of the apple of the eye, the little man of the eye, the pupil of the eye, I am reminded, and you are, the little man, the apple of his eye. I told Linda, I says, I'd like to do an experiment. Well, she says, I don't know. I says, well, I'll tell you what, it's very simple. Just look real close in my eye and tell me what you see. And she says, well, I see myself in the pupil of your eye. I says, thank you very much. The experiment's over. That's all we want to do. Did you know you're the apple of his eye? He's the little man of his eye, as it were, that God is infinitely interested, deeply interested in every little minute aspect of our lives. I find that absolutely mind-boggling, if I can express it that way, that God is interested in the most minute aspects of my life. And he says to each one of us, he sent his son who loved us and gave himself for us, laid down his life to give us life that we might have it more abundantly. And he says, you are the apple of my eye. So if you put your head down on a pillow at night and it seems doom and gloom, take the doom and gloom away, because you're the apple of his eye. Couldn't be nearer, couldn't be greater, couldn't be more precious. But then as I weave through the word of God, I find that the Lord kind of turns it around. No longer, not only am I the apple of his eye, but he says, I have a responsibility to keep him as the apple of my eye. They tell us today that distracted driving, or multitasking as people call it, causes an awful lot of accidents or difficulties. I've got a little compass hanging on a string in the van. Some of you maybe have a more sophisticated vehicle with a mirror that has a compass and settings. But if you take a compass bearing in the bush and you're going to hike or you're going to travel to a spot, you'd need to know whether there's deviation from the magnetic field. But if you're only traveling for an hour and you're only a couple degrees off, it's not a big issue. But if you're traveling for a good period of time, or a number of days at a time, and you're just a degree or two off, you become a long ways from your destination. And it can become very hard to get back to the proper destination. And so God is reminding us, He says, I don't want you to get distracted. I don't want you to just slowly take a few side steps off the proper path. But He says, I want you and I constantly, consistently to keep Him as the apple of your eye. How does that happen? How is it that the joy of the Lord is our strength? Well, I want to say that's because you and I would follow and obey the Word of God. And how can believers ever have unity? Because it's not optional, but it's essential. And unity will only come when individually we submit ourselves to the principles and the precepts and obey them that are found in the Word of God. And when we would practice what the Word of God says individually, it will cause a unity collectively. Love one another with a pure heart fervently will cause unity. Keep me as the apple of thine eye. What does it say a little further on in the book? It says to keep the word as the apple of thine eye. I guess in life I have a lot of surprises. And one of the most basic, elementary one that has surprised me through the years is that at times, believers in assembly fellowship do not read the book every day. I find that astounding. I haven't asked that question, but I've had people confess it to me. I've had people say, I'm going to start to work through the Word of God this year. I've had elders' wives tell me, you know, I have not read the Word of God every day, and I've started. And what a blessing it is. If we want to keep Him as the apple of our eye, there is no day too busy to not begin or not enjoy Himself and His Word. And when we slowly get the compass off course and other things suddenly creep in, we are slowly getting our eyes off the apple of our eye. You ever go to a wedding? Well, I know many of us did because we're married and all those things. But, you know, and you watch the couple there and they're all starry-eyed looking at one another. And they wouldn't be able to tell you whether it's cloudy out or there's 100 birds flying over their head or whether the house next door was on fire or anything because, well, they're in love. And I remember in one assembly somebody said, you know, we haven't had a young couple in love before for so many years. We forget what it's like. You know, they're sitting so close and you think one of them's shivering, or I don't know what it is, but what causes 2/3 of the marriages in most of the West to end, break up? What causes it? Well, I know there's a lot of reasons and a lot of ramifications, and I'm sure not going to get into that, but somehow or other, that one was no longer the apple of their eye. And whether a slow, gradual process, I'm not interested in the ramifications. They're all out there. But it can occur in the Christian life that one who loved me and gave himself for me and has become my everything, and in younger days gladly would have left for Africa or anywhere God called, I could lose my devotion. I could lose my affection. I could get so busy with the here and now. God is not interested in what you and I are doing nearly as much as what He is doing in you and I. Conforming us to the image of His Son, teaching us to enjoy Him, walk with Him, commune with Him, to, as it were, make Christ look great in the eyes of a lost, perishing world. Keep me as the apple of thine eye. Mr. Abernathy used to tell us that getting away is usually a slow, gradual process. Never can lose your salvation. And he used to emphasize that getting back can be an instantaneous process. Confessing, forsaking, and following the Lord. He says, keep the word as the apple of thine eye. Keep the law as the apple of thine eye. You know, the old preachers used to tell us, and I guess I'm old now and I don't like to admit it, this book will keep you from sin. And sin will keep you from this book. We live in an odd day and age today. People get addicted to the computer, the internet. They say people get up in the middle of the night to see what messages they had. They say the addictions can be greater than drugs sometimes, and in the Far East there's places to help get people unaddicted from these issues. Remember when you had a desire to set aside so much time a day for the Lord, for His Word? Remember when it came to the Bible readings of the assembly or a conference Bible reading? And of course, I'm from the dark ages when we didn't have the computer to click what a word meant. And we could spend 3 or 4 days in Robertson's and Weiss and Strong's looking up all the words and all the meanings and ramifications and thinking and pondering. Those were rich days. And we put a lot of time in it, and maybe we never even opened our mouth at all. But we felt like we were blessed, and we felt like we were strengthened, and we felt like we were encouraged. And in this modern day, in the click of a mouse in 2 seconds, you find what the word means. And all the tools are available to you. There's nothing that's quite the same as meditating with Him and getting afresh from Himself and enjoying Himself day by day. Now, you might not even remember it every day, but it's sure good when it's going through. Younger days, I put quite a bit of time with David Kimber back east in New Brunswick and Maine. He's with the Lord now. So I try to keep in touch by the telephone with those I've worked with. You know, one thing that touched my heart, whenever I could call him, he'd say, here's a little verse I enjoyed today. Here's a little outline I worked on today. Here's a little Sunday school lesson I worked on. And he says, I know it's odd for somebody old to teach the Sunday school, but he says, I really enjoy it. But he always had something fresh, something he got that day, right then. It touched my heart. Says, don't let the apple of thine eye cease. Well, you know, I haven't got time to make the meeting. And I got an awful lot of bills because, you know, I got to have a really fancy home, and I got to have everything up to whatever the Joneses are. Do you really? I've been pondering the Apostle Paul much in the first missionary journey and so on. He didn't live that way. He was completely sold out to Christ. Am I? I sure should be, or I shouldn't be up here. The Apostle Paul, if I could call it his life verse, was for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. There were no categories in his life. There were no, this is on the top shelf, and this is on the back burner, and this is on the front burner. Totally sold out for the gospel. Solely sold out to build and bind and bless the people of God. I read nowhere he lost the apple of his eye. I read nowhere with stoning and whipping and beating and shipwreck and all the ramifications he got discouraged. Not at all. Communion with the Lord. Never lost the apple of the eye. Didn't worry what they said, saint or sinner. He's moving on for God. Zechariah gives us a little promise. It's a big promise. I take it to heart. I call it, the Lord's my bodyguard. He that touches you touches the apple of his eye. Can he protect us? Can he sustain us? Can he keep us? I could spend quite a while on times and streets, wilderness, mobs, guns held on you. And you look back over life. He's watched out for me. In the street terminology, he's covered my back. He that touches you touches the apple of his eye. I know thee by name. You're very precious to the Lord. His Son loved you, gave himself for you, shed his blood for you. He's coming back for you. May God help us. Never lose the apple of our eye. Never get cold, never get distant. We might be revived and refreshed. He's in the boat, he's with us, and he's for us. And he does do.